Gonna keep it moving here in hour two, because I have a couple things I want to get to, and we have a tournament bracket filled out by somebody who has never filled out a tournament bracket before. You'll hear the results of that later on this hour. But today is first four day. What's the latest? What's our score here, Mitch? Can I get a score update?
30-20, Mount St. Mary's leads Texas Southern at the break.
All right. Mike Davis, still the head coach at Texas Southern? Mike Davis, former Indiana head coach? All right. Well, isn't that Texas Southern who Javon Thomas threw the ball away against? Like, there was that meltdown, Texas Southern?
But I have no idea who the head coach is.
Well, it was definitely Mike Davis at that point. Regardless, K-State once upon a time played in this first four, and it's not just a, hey, throwback Thursday, let's flash back to when K-State beat Wake Forest in the first four. There's actually some legitimate significance here, because K-State would be aiming to get back to this kind of point next season if we want to set really good, tangible goals for where the program is going. I think, like every fan, I guess I should just stop speaking for the fans. I'll speak for myself. The team needs to be back in the tournament next year. I repeat, the team needs to be back in the tournament next year. I don't care how bad things looked at points this year. Like, if Bruce is back, the team needs to be in the tournament. This is not a program that was at the point where you go 3 years without making the tournament and deem everything just honky-dory and everything's okay, especially when two of those years were as bad as they were each of the last 2 years. So you need to be talking about making that sort of a jump. And the comparison that everybody has had is Dean Berry Cam, that group. Well, Dean Berry Cam went from their first year going 17-16, but 5-13 in the Big 12, to the next year making that jump to the first four, where they were a tournament team. They had to go play in the first four, and they did beat Wake Forest before then losing to Cincinnati. So that has to be the goal here. Like, there's no, I'm not here for any argument that that can't be the goal. It has to be an NCAA tournament team. If that group, if we're going to keep making that comparison, that group, Dean Berry Cam, they did it. They went from 5-13 in the Big 12. This team was 4-14 this past year in the Big 12 to NCAA tournament team jumping into the first four. That's got to be the goal. That's got to be the bare minimum for next season. So the question then becomes, like, how far off is this group from doing that? And I would actually say that, I mean, the one thing that they accomplished by what happened at the end of the year is they made it seem like, at least from a record standpoint, that's fairly attainable, because the first four team, obviously with a lot of variables in here, went 8-10 in the league. That's only a four-game jump from being 4-14. That in and of itself, if we take everything else out of the picture, just saying, hey, can you add four games to your Big 12 record? Add four wins to your Big 12 record. Can you do that? That's not outrageous. It's not outrageous, really, of anybody to ask. Not necessarily easy, but it's not an outrageous ask. So the little flurry at the end of the year brings that at least into the rear view. The other part of that is you can't just fart through a non-conference schedule where you have as many losses as they did. That team went 13-2 in the non-con. You'd have to have a really good to pretty good non-conference schedule if you're going to pair it with 8-10, but not out of the realm of possibility. So on one hand, from that standpoint, I don't think it's that far-fetched. The part that's far-fetched is just, like, how does that actually happen out there on the court? Because I still sit here as the roster is constituted today and say, I need an impact transfer to feel good about that happening, to feel good about that team making a jump four or five games in their Big 12 record to being a legitimate bona fide tournament team. That's going to have to happen for me right now. And we may be, again, go to KSO, but we may be on the verge of more coming that would make that task even more difficult to me, which means you have to hit the transfer portal even harder. Even harder. In a crazy year where the portal is going to be wide open with a lot of names out there. But that's the part I can't get over. I still feel like I think it's absolutely more likely than not that this team does not make it to at least the first four next year. Absolutely. Even though the record would tell you they're not that far off, I don't share the optimism that the roster can actually back up what wouldn't be any sort of monumental jump record-wise right now.
I think they're far off. I think they're further off than what you might think. When K-State made the
first
four...
I just said that they're pretty far off. I mean, I just said they're far off.
Well, at first it sounded like you thought they were closer than what many expect. Like, if they could win four more conference games, like, that doesn't sound as far-fetched as some might think.
Well, the point, Mitch, you're misunderstanding me. Asking a team, not K-State, not anybody specific, asking a team to improve by four games in the conference from 1 year to the next is not an outrageous ask. That's not anything crazy. For a while, it looked like this team was going to finish like, you know, 1-17, and then you were going to be saying you'd have to improve that by like 8 or 9 wins the next year in the Big 12. That seems pretty outrageous. Getting it to the point where it's just 4-8 or 4-9, whatever it is, that's at least within the realm of possibility. But that's just in general, not talking about any specific team. What I'm saying is I think the problem is actually making that happen. Well, that's a realistic thing. You still have to have the pieces to make that happen, and I don't think they really have the pieces to make that happen right now.
All right, so yes, we are pretty much on the same page then, because I look at what K-State had to do in 2016-17 when they made the first four. They won 20 games. They were a 20-win team when they entered that first four. Now, a blue blood like what we have been mentioning earlier, which with Michigan State and UCLA, obviously teams didn't play as many games, but they don't. K-State doesn't have a name recognition that would make the committee want to throw them into the first four with a mediocre record. But K-State, I would have to think they would probably have to double their wins from this year to next year, which would be 18. They have to be more impressive. They have to start winning the games. For instance, Texas. You know, okay, a close loss to Texas, it's a moral victory. But to be a tournament team, you have to win a game like that. You got close to beating Baylor. A close loss doesn't help you get to the tournament. So there's still a lot of work to be done, and K-State will get more of a non-conference schedule next year. But and I don't have any evidence to say this could happen, but my gut says there's still a possibility there might be another player leaving. You just don't know. I mean, it's kind of waiting day by day through this process as we, head into the summer of, you know, who has all of a sudden thought of, well, I've been talking to my family, I've been talking to my friends, maybe I should go play somewhere else. The more that happens, the least I expect K-State to make that kind of turnaround and play postseason basketball.
Yeah, for sure. And again, the flip side is there will be a bazillion players out there to go get. But the problem is we run around in circles with this argument is like this coaching staff has not really proven that they have been adept at navigating the transfer market and landing a bunch of transfers to match all of the transfers that are leaving. So I'm with you. Yeah, again, to me, it's about the DeJuan Gordon line. Like anybody DeJuan and up in terms of skill level on this team, that's going to just sink any optimism that I actually have. Sink any optimism, and we'll see what happens by the end of the week.
And just one quick thing about this as well. I think a goal you could potentially set, like a guideline, at least get into the top 7 of the Big 12. Because the Big 12 gets 6 and 7 in every year. At least you're in the conversation. You still got to be good, but top 7 in the Big 12, at least you're knocking on the door.
Probably, maybe. We don't necessarily know that. This is about as deep a year as there's been in the Big 12, and top 7 got you there, but you can be close, I guess, but I'm done with the excuses of like being close. I mean, I'd be fine with just an ultimatum of like tournament or bust, like tournament or get out, because I don't like that. I don't like saying, hey, you can be close, because the time for margin for error is gone. Like that's gone. You just blew it on 2 years of finishing last and then next to last in the league. That's out the door. Now you need some results. Start producing results. I'm tired of hearing the excuses on it. You can be back, fine, but you better produce. This is one of the many little stories that I want to work in here, but I'm seeing, according to Noah Oxner on Twitter here, who is a reporter with, I think it's KSNT. Yeah, KSNT. K-State will have an intro to cannabis class next year. It is not horticulture 420. It is horticulture 640.
So, intro to cannabis. So this is for first timers that have that won't admit to indulging in the past?
You just come in and you hotbox the classroom, yes, and you get your first experience. No, I do not believe that's what it is. It says, come learn about the history, use, cultivation, and politics of cannabis in the U.S. and current research on industrial hemp production here in Kansas. It's smart. Like, it's big business. If I were somebody that were going to school, like, I know we can make all the jokes in the world that we want. Like, I hope it starts at 4:20 p.m., all of that. But, like, it's big business across the country. It's becoming legal and decriminalized everywhere. Like, this is what, if I were coming up in agricultural studies, whatever it is, I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but it's a big department at K-State, right? If I'm doing something in ag econ, whatever, that's actually an incredibly valuable class. I mean, K-State probably should have had that class 10 years ago to actually be on the cutting edge. But, you know, I mean, Kansas is going to drag behind 100 years on this like Kansas would on virtually anything moderately progressive at all. So here we are just now getting it. But at least there's apparently no real resistance. Because, I mean, that's the crazy thing about it. Like, the stereotype is fading, but there is still some stereotype to it, like, socially. But now everybody's having to recognize, like, the economic impact of that. If you're going to be a university and you're going to take however much money it is that you're taking from everybody and tanking people in student debt, then you better offer them things that can, like, legitimately help them. And right now, if I'm somebody in agriculture, that's something that can legitimately help me and something that is pretty modern and that you need to know about. So, I thought that was one funny and two, like, oh, okay, finally, K-State coming around. Maybe these declining enrollment numbers are actually starting to register and being like, hey, maybe we should, you know, modernize a few things around here.
Might be the best business class a school's ever had.
What's a horticulture class?
Well, okay, but, you know, there's a business side to it as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even legal here yet, I'm pretty sure.
You're pretty sure?
Man, what an well, I think there's legislation on the table, if you know what I mean.
Is there?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I just assume it won't happen in Kansas until somebody's there at gunpoint holding the legislature to actually do it. You know, until insurrectionists storm the capital of Kansas to actually make it happen. I just assumed that it would never, you know, actually happen. Maybe
We're getting geared up to when it does pass.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe Google that and see if you're actually accurate in making that statement, because I have no idea if we actually are. One really cool thing I saw on Twitter today, an announcement. And then we give an NCAA tournament bracket to someone who's never filled one out. We'll play the results of that next. How long have we had this as bed music?
A minute. Quite a while.
Okay.
I actually, just last week, I saw something on Twitter about Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. It is the first ever song to stay in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 for a year.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
I didn't realize it had even been out that long. It's a good jam, though. I like The Weeknd a lot. So I saw this on Twitter, at D. Scott Fritchin. He said, honored to work with Coach Bill Snyder as we write his autobiography, and grateful to Triumph Books in downtown Chicago for the book contract. If you have a few minutes, please read, reflect, and email me at my address below. So if you want, go to D. Scott Fritchin on Twitter. You can share your stories and memories about Bill Snyder for this book. But this always seemed inevitable. Like, this seemed as inevitable as anything when Bill Snyder retired the second time around, that D. Scott was going to be the one to write that book and to write the autobiography. Like, match made in heaven. Nobody is more passionate about Bill Snyder in particular in K-State football than D. Scott. And we all knew, like, you know, D. Scott was one of, if not Coach Snyder's favorite out of the gang of us that we're always talking to him. And for all of you out there with your, hey, why isn't the book titled Write What the Hell You Want to Write? All of you with those kinds of jokes, you know that I, you know, was not exactly D. Scott in Bill Snyder's eyes, okay? I was not going to be the one to write the book, but I was happy to see this. That is awesome. Congratulations to D. Scott on that. And I very much look forward to reading that, because there's nobody more cut out to do that than him. Certainly not at all. Not at all.
Proud of you, kid.
That's what you have to say? Proud of you, kid?
What else do you want me to say? Good for him.
Okay.
We're going to make some money.
But it's, yeah, what? Well, I don't need to be like trying to dig in anybody's pockets here, but I am curious. Like, what does a book deal usually pay you? I have no idea what a book deal usually pays you.
So, like, D. Scott's like a ghostwriter in this. So,
well, I don't think he's a ghost. I would guess that it would just say by D. Scott Fritchett. It's an autobiography.
Yeah, that's autobiographies.
Do I have that backwards?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Autobiographies are usually written by the person.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. You're right. I had the back. It's been a long time since I've been in school. Okay, I don't remember. Last time it's been like 3 years since I stepped foot in the library.
And I'm the one that doesn't read.
Yeah, my fault. I do actually read a little bit, but I read it on my Kindle. You know, so.
And you only read biographies, I guess.
No, I don't read hardly any outside of Bob Stoops. That was the one that I did read. I read Bob Stoops.
Biography or auto?
Well, but see, that's what I feel like that'll be the same kind of situation, because that was actually written by Gene Wojciechowski, but it came across like it was like written in first person as if it were Stoops saying it. So I would guess it's going to be the same sort of hookup there. Nobody cares about the fact that I read Bob Stoops' biography, autobiography, whichever one it is. I think you might care about this. Mitch has been the administrator of the Manhattan Broadcasting Bracket Challenge.
The commissioner.
Commissioner of the Manhattan Broadcasting Bracket Challenge for the last 7 years. We had 7 years now?
Yes, yeah, seventh annual. Missed last year. So it would have been eight.
Okay, so for the last 8 years, this has been Mitch's task. Ever since the days where he was almost getting fired for stacking water cups in the studio, he has been doling out brackets here in the station. And we found one of our coworkers who has not ever filled out a bracket. Never filled out a bracket. And got him to fill one out. And so I assume the gag here long-term, Mitch, is to see if and when, likely, he does better than we do filling out these brackets. Is that what you had in mind here in actually making Sloan fill this thing out?
So he didn't want to fill out a bracket. I understand he doesn't want to go that deep. So I just pulled up ESPN and we clicked on all. It was actually a lot easier. It's quicker just to get on ESPN and click on the teams he picked, and we could run through it. And it was actually quite
But
convenient.
You have to save it.
Well, we have it saved via audio.
Oh, you didn't actually save it. Because the bit here would be to see at the end of it all if this person actually beat us or not.
I mean, we can easily figure it out.
Okay. I'll leave that up to you. You can listen to the raw audio file. Here's what happened when we gave a bracket to somebody who had never, ever filled out an NCAA tournament bracket before.
Mitch Fortner with Sloan from 101.5 K-Rock here on The Game. So just to clarify, Sloan, you have never filled out a bracket in your entire life.
I have not. No, I've been asked many, many times, and instead I opt to just light a $5 bill on fire. So.
Well, we're going to start with the first round. Let's start in the West region. Number one overall seed Gonzaga against the winner of Norfolk State and Appalachian State.
I thought there were only two teams that could play. That sounds like there's three teams playing in that game.
Yeah, that's a play-in game tonight.
Okay, so Gonzaga.
Creighton, they're from Omaha.
Okay, oh, okay.
The University of California, Santa Barbara.
Okay, I'll go with California, Santa Barbara, because I've driven through there. I've never been through Omaha, so I always drive around it.
Oregon versus VCU, Virginia Commonwealth.
Oregon, because I like trees.
We move to the East region.
Oh my God, there's more. How many games are there?
Total 63.
Oh my Lord.
LSU versus St. Bonaventure.
LSU, because it sounds like LSD.
BYU versus the winner of Michigan State and UCLA.
BYU. Is that Brigham Young University?
Yes. Mormons.
Okay. Mormons. Yeah, no, not those guys. The other teams. I think everybody hates Alabama. Is that the Crimson Tide?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everybody hates those guys, right? I just know that from football. I'm basing all this on what I know from football, so.
We move to the South region. We're cruising right through here. Okay. South region, number one seed, Baylor against Hartford.
Hartford, because they had a cool hockey team, the Whalers. But it's probably not the same Hartford.
Florida against Virginia Tech.
Oh, Virginia Tech. Oh, they're in the – oh, they play the Cats, don't they? Yeah, they're –
oh, you're thinking West Virginia.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Close enough. First round in the Midwest region, Illinois against Drexel.
Drexel. Isn't that like little tool that grinds?
They're also called the Dragons.
Oh, cool. Those guys, for sure.
Houston versus Cleveland State.
Let's go with Cleveland because that's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is.
And finally, Maryland against Iona.
Iota? I guess, sure. Why not?
All right, we are in finally the Elite Eight. Here's your West Regional Championship, Ohio versus Wichita State.
Wichita State.
So a very interesting Final Four. You have Wichita State, Michigan, Villanova, and West Virginia are okay. Definitely Final Four
so
picks.
So the Wichita State's kind of like the long shot, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But they have made a Final Four in the last decade.
Yeah, okay. Well, they have a cool hand gesture.
All right, your national championship game, Wichita State versus West Virginia. Who is winning it all?
Let's go with the Shockers, Ted Lasso, for the winner.
All right, you've heard it here. Sloan from K-Rock has picked Wichita State to win the national championship. That would be a shocker.
The confidence in your voice was like...
That would shock the nation.
It's a terrible pun, Mitch.
Hey now!
No. Not deserving of that at all. Not deserving of that at all. Speaking of, they've tipped off now. Why so early? Why can't they wait until we finish the show so I can watch this entire game?
5-2 Drake. 4 minutes in. Oh boy, Sloan, your pick.
Yeah, on the ropes.
Bounced early.
On the ropes already. You are correct about that. All right, we'll do a number one song of the day next.
Dog John 99.
Say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. If you ain't running games. Say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Say my name. If no one is around you.
Classic,
say, baby,
man.
I love you. If you ain't
classic.
Running games. Say my name.
Nostalgic right here. Let me guess the year. Let me guess the year for Say My Name by Destiny's Child. I'll say, this has to be like 2000, right? Let's go. When did Beyonce break off and go solo? Yeah, I think this has to be like 2000 because I feel like by like 2003, 2004, she was solo act. Yeah! Nailed it.
Say My Name by Destiny's Child went number one on this day in 2000, 3 weeks at number one. American girl group formed in Houston, Texas. The final lineup was probably the best lineup. Beyonce Knowles, Kelly Rowland, and Michelle Williams. The original lineup actually formed in 1990, but Destiny's Child officially broke things off in 2006. Destiny's Child has sold more than 60 million records worldwide to date. Billboard ranks the group as the ninth most successful artist or band of the 2000s.
Really?
And ranked them at number 90 for most successful dance club artists of all time. 5 studio albums, 9 top 10. This was their second of 4 number ones. This is from the album The Writings on the Wall, their second studio album. So there's a little bit of controversy here. All right? So when this was released, I mentioned Williams earlier. Michelle Williams, she's not with the group yet. There was actually 4 in the group at the time, along with Beyonce and Kelly. There was LaToya Luckett and Latavia Robertson. Now, Robertson and Luckett, though, they're singing on the track, but you don't see them in the music video. Because after the recording, before shooting the music video, Robertson and LaToya Luckett, well, they weren't happy with the way the money was being split up, and they accused the manager of the group to giving more money to Beyonce and Kelly Rowland. Well, the manager of the group was Matthew Knowles, the father of Beyonce.
Yeah, and I don't know how much you know about him.
I don't know anything.
Well,
besides, apparently he's a little shady.
Well, I could tell you a lot because you remember the Kanye podcast that I had you listen to, Breaking Down My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That's a series where every season they dissect. It's called Dissect. They dissect a different album. They've done a couple of Beyonce albums. I've listened to about half of the Dissect podcast series on Lemonade which was one of the real seminal works of Beyonce's career. And there's a lot of, her dad, not always the greatest dude. Not always the greatest dude. Infidelity.
So the way the Robertson and Luckett found out they were fired from the group was when the music video was released. There was a third in the group. Actually, four. There was four girls total in the music video. Two new girls, by the way, by the name of Farrah Franklin and Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams she stayed in the group, and Farrah Franklin was fired just a few months later after the music video came out. But when the music video was released, that's how Robertson and Luckett found out they were fired from the group.
Tough way to go.
So this song is about a woman who wants to hear her boyfriend speak affectionately to her because she suspects he's in a room with another woman. The song says, when no one is around you, say, baby, I love you. Why are you playing games? She's going with her gut. Feels like her man's cheating on her. In 2000, this won Grammys for Best R&B Song and Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group. Billboard named the song number 7 on its list of the 100 Greatest Girl Group Songs of All Time and the Best Song of the Year 2000.
What would be number 1 on that list? The Best Girl Group Songs of All Time. Are we talking like Spice Girls, like Spice Up Your Life?
Oh, boy, you're...
Oh, I'm looking it up
TLC
right now. Don't you worry.
Waterfalls?
Maybe. TLC Waterfalls is not bad. That's not bad.
See, my knowledge of girl groups doesn't go very far.
Oh, boy. And
especially
just,
the ones that don't play instruments.
Yeah, like I just clicked the list and I'm all the way back at 100 and I'm like, got to scroll all the way down here. No, it's not. Thank you. Be My Baby by the Ronettes. It's from 1963. That is their number one girl group song of all time. Creep by TLC is number 2.
Be My Baby.
Yeah.
Okay, I found it.
The Ronettes. You got that? The Ronettes. Boy, a lot of these are old. The Shirley's, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, 1961.
Oh, I mean, girl groups, I mean, they go back a long ways.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. The Supremes, that's number 4. Wannabe by the Spice Girls is number 5. Checks in at number 5.
So here's number 1. Oh, okay. The night we
met, I knew I needed you so. This is number 1.
Do I know this from Dirty Dancing?
Number 1. Oh, yeah. Work From Home by Fifth Harmony featuring Ty Dolla $ign. That's 2016. That's number 14. Now that's a song. That's a banger right there. We can work from home. Let me make sure that song is radio appropriate. I think it is. No, I can't.
I swear I know that from Dirty Dancing, but
I can't do the doo-wop. Isn't this like a doo-wop song? Wouldn't you say this is doo-wop?
I don't know. It was released in 63?
No, you can't tell me you'd rather listen to this than some Beyonce, you know?
Oh, I mean, I can appreciate both.
You can appreciate both, but which one would you rather listen to?
There would be no Beyonce without the Ronettes. At least there wouldn't be Destiny's Child.
They
paved the way.
The good old Ronettes. Yeah.
Boy, look at these hairdos, by the way. I don't know what that's called.
Oh, wow.
Like a female.
It looks like Phyllis and Rashida Jones when they go to make that sales call. Yeah, and that guy's wife all looks like that. Now here's a jam. Here's number 14 on the best all girl group songs of all time. Wow, this music video is... Well, a little risque. Bunch of construction dudes.
Are we talking Cardi B at the Grammys?
No, not Cardi B at the Grammys. It's a bunch of construction dudes shirtless pouring cement.
Oh! I mean... That was freshman year of high school for me.
shirtless pouring cement?
Yeah, sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Come on, like, this is a good pop song. Like, this is...
I mean, I've heard it before.
This is what I like in a pop song right here.
Shout out to all the girl groups out there getting their recognition right now. It's well deserved.
It is. I feel like there has not been much representation for girl groups on the number one song of the day. Just trying to bring that in here for you, Mitch.
I mean, the Supremes, they've been featured a few times.
Well, why don't you have the Ronettes on there?
Did it go number one?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's
number one on the Billboard list.
This week we hit the year anniversary of a number one song. That was yesterday. So we're kind of changing things up with number one song, kind of going back to the songs that were bangers but just didn't get to them. Like, so we're not going like on this day anymore. It's going to be pretty random from here on out, and I bet there's some girl group stuff in there.
I'm kind of distracted by this music video right now. Sorry. Let's get to ask.
You like guys at porn cement? I mean,
listen, the tone of the video has changed a little bit about a minute in. So, all right. Easy there.
Who's stirring the cement is my question.
Well, now there's blowtorches involved, but it is not the guys that have the blowtorches. Ask us anything's next. Really help everybody out by letting them know what channel True TV is on their television, Mitch. That's really what you need to do at this time of year.
For those that are watching on YouTube TV, scroll down to True TV. If you're on Hulu TV, scroll down to True TV. What else is there? DirecTV. Cox. If you're streaming Cox, scroll down to True TV. If you're on the regular Cox, well, that is going to be on channel... Well, that's TB. I'm on TBS. That's channel 29. Watching Wichita State.
Okay,
kind of a boring
game. We
I'm
weren't
getting there.
We weren't prepared for this. It's okay.
You asked me the question. True TV is channel 51.
All right. AT&T?
If you're streaming AT&T, scroll down to True TV.
All right. Would you rather become rich or famous? How is that even a question? Rich.
Yeah.
Rich.
Fame doesn't always come with money.
Yeah, like if the choice is like you're just famous, but it doesn't necessarily mean money.
Unless you're that catch me outside girl.
And either way, like I if it's rich and famous or just rich, I would rather just be rich and live like a normal person. I don't need the fame part of it. Like, give me the privacy. I'll just take my money and go do what it is that I'm going to do.
If I got rich, like, overnight, I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd keep it as quiet as I possibly
could. But that'd be pretty hard. How are you going to explain just, like, quitting your job? I mean, I assume you would quit
job. No, I'd just keep working here, you know, stealing somebody else's job that could use it more than me.
You wouldn't go to New York? You wouldn't go to...
Oh, you know, I mean, I would make, you know, probably.
There's no way you could hide that. Like... It would show in your work. Like, you wouldn't care as much about the work.
I would get off social media.
You're telling me you would still be waking up at 5 in the morning every day to come in and...
Oh, no. I would, get some things moved around. You know, those other people that could do the morning show.
Right, but people would be asking questions then at that point. Like, why is it that you're stepping back? Like, how are you going to...
Another job. And that's...
The people will ask
money.
Questions. And then... I assume you buy.
I tell them just to mind their business.
You're not going to just drive the same car that you're driving. I assume you'll show up in a Maserati.
Nah, I'm not a big
something.
Car guy. I don't need something fancy that I'm going to wrap around a pole because I'm trying to show it off.
Okay, well, when you buy a house out at Colbert Hills,
I don't need all that property. It's just me.
Then what would you do with the money?
I'd buy a house, but nothing too crazy. You know I'm full of crap, right?
Yes.
I would flaunt those dollar bills everywhere.
Yeah,
man. I would fan myself on Instagram with hundies.
Yeah.
I am moving to New York City. Might check out Europe.
Yeah, I would do anything and everything. Like, I don't even know that I would, like, flaunt it for the sake of flaunting it, but I'd have the money and I would be doing what it is I'm going to do. Consequences be damned. I'll make all the mistakes, you know, like everybody, like, oh, it's not going to buy you happiness and... you know, you can do this and lose friends or whatever. Like, I mean, like, I'm going to make the mistakes. I'm going to make the money mistakes, and that's going to be a phase of life that's going to happen, and I'll just live through it, and it seems like it would actually be really fun to live through, so I'll make those mistakes.
If I won, like, Powerball money, I would out-donate Carl and Mary Ice so I can get my name on some stuff.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Does that
put
mean
their
you,
donations on
does that
ice.
Mean you would go does that mean you'd go pay Underwood's buyout?
Oh, absolutely.
would you pay TJ Otzelberger's buyout?
Nope.
Okay.
That guy can suffer up there in Ames.
Well, the next question here is, if you won the lottery, what's the first thing you'd buy? I mean, I guess you've kind of already...
Brad Underwood's buyout.
The first thing? That'd be the first thing. I don't think it works where you can just, like, buy Brad Underwood. I mean, I think he still has to have the...
Everybody's got a price.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. All right, fine. Brad Underwood, first up.